Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Bulldogs defeat the Tigers 22-14. What I loved about this game for the Bulldogs is, you know, obviously last week I said that I feel like they might be a bit mentally flat because they've had such a big month of footy, or 5 weeks. And I do feel like they did come out flat. Obviously, they were down 14-6 halftime.
Yep.
And even throughout the rest of the game, I don't think they looked anywhere near as punchy as they had in the last few weeks. But what I loved about this game is, mate, their standards and their defense and their grit, it has gone from like a 3 out of 10 to like an 8 out of 10. It is seriously unbelievable how far this Bulldog squad has come in such a short time.
And even just the way they all buy in, like even when we're doing Team of the Week, like, not in a bad way, but it was hard to find a Canterbury Bulldog. It's just everyone did their job.
Yeah.
Everyone just buys in and does their little bit, and does what they need to do, which is great to see.
I just love, like, you watch the Tigers trying to get out of their own end. Like, the Tigers, the Bulldogs' line speed, like, it was top-tier quality. Like, they were just squeezing them and squeezing them and squeezing them. And so, you know, we said earlier in the podcast, but what do we say about good sides? They win games even if they're not playing as well as we, you know, think they're gonna. They should be playing. And as I said, I don't think the Dogs looked anywhere near, like, against the Knights. They looked phenomenal. But they've got non-negotiables that even when things aren't coming off for us, even when our ball playing isn't good, we're not getting as stripping numbers, and we're not making as many line breaks as we would hope, and scoring as many points as we'd hope, we're still putting ourselves in a position to win the game, and I think that's what they did.
I think as well for Canterbury, like for fans out there, if you're looking for a big positive, mate, they won this game with Jacob Preston sitting on the bench. They didn't even put him on. They chose not to put him on the field. Could you imagine the end of last year saying that Canterbury were winning games without putting, like, he was their best player last year.
Imagine him being in a position to even consider not putting him on. He would have been starting last year.
Well, and yeah, this was out, you know, I think that Blake Taff came in, did a good job, but I still think Connor Tracy's their first choice one there. So without their fullback, without their best back rower from last year, it's a big win.
What happened there to Connor Tracy?
Calf.
Yep.
1 to 2 weeks.
Gotcha. Yep.
Timmy, what do you think of the Doggies, mate?
Yeah, I think you put it well, Kempy, referring just to standards. Like, with the Dogs in the past and even, you know, as recent as last year, you say, all right, if things go wrong for them, you allude to, you know, they're lacking the middles. They struggle to get up each week against better forward packs. And I think in this one, man-to-man on paper, you'd go the Tigers probably had the better pack. Or they've had a big injury toll in recent years, and you say, oh, they've had injuries, so you let them off. The Dogs just do not look like a team content with saying that and making any excuses at the moment. And, you know, we're not 3-4 rounds in where they've had a few gritty games and solid wins. We're 9 rounds into the comp, and week in, week out, they're showing up for the fight. You know, in the past we've said, oh, if they struggle to score points, they're lacking attacking weapons, this and that. they're looking like a side now that threaten regularly. They get in the opposition 20 and they've got these great attacking moves. The combinations are really starting to see them come together so well, particularly that left edge. Really professional win from them. Loving what I'm seeing. And yeah, they good things coming out of Belmore.
Yeah, really good things. What I love the most about like the actual X's and O's of the game is like when the game was on the line in that like last 20 or whatever, just their defensive line speed. Like them being all on board, understanding the position the game was in. They had a lead and they didn't fully put the ball away and not spinning it, but they understood the only way that we keep this lead is making sure they don't get down our end. And they just line speed, pressure, pressure, pressure. And it got to the point where the score says 22-14, but when you actually watch the last 20 minutes of the game, I don't like at least the last 10 minutes of the game, the Tigers did not really get down their end much. And that's just good, conservative rugby league. Like, do we have the punch to blow them out of the water? Probably not today. It hasn't really been our day that much in regards to our attacking footy. Yes, we've scored some points, but we haven't just blown them out of the water. So what do? We fall back on our defence and just get field position. I thought it was really, really smart. Really, really smart. And really, really good signs for the Bulldogs because, you know, if they come out and they had a play a couple of weeks ago and they just blow the Tigers off the park, you could kind of go, all right, we're in a bit of a purple patch here. That's really good news. And obviously that would be better. But the silver lining here is even when they're probably not playing as well as we know they can, they're still getting the win and still comfortable is the wrong word because it was relatively close. But at the same time, I did feel like I wasn't really nervous for them in the last 10 minutes. Like, I don't know. I wasn't sitting there going, okay, momentum shift here. I felt they had the game kind of under control. Now, you know, I understand there was a lot of penalties and we'll talk about that. But yeah, I liked it. But let's talk about the refereeing. Yeah, unfortunately, just really poor refereeing. I don't know how Aiden Caesar didn't go off a 10 after that hip drop. I understand he didn't end up landing on Curran's legs, but holy moly, if that wasn't a textbook hip drop, I'm not here. Now, some people are blowing up because Tungo only got a week. Caesar got 3 or 4 weeks, but Caesar's actually on his third, pretty sure it's his third strike.
Yeah, his third strike, and he's been charged 4 times this year already.
Yeah, so that's the difference. Yeah, unfortunately, the refereeing was just not up to standard. It just
wasn't. How does character does that feel for Aiden Caesar? Yeah. Like, I wouldn't have picked that from Aiden Caesar.
You know what it feels like? Is that he's gone away from the game. The game has changed a lot since he was away from the game. And maybe those rules are in, they probably are in Super League, but I don't know. If I'm just a guess, I just think that it's probably him catching up to all the little nuances that under fatigue you've got to keep in mind. Like, you know, if you graze the chin, that's, you know, that's a problem now. If you lift your legs and leave the ground, that's a hip drop now. Whereas 4 years ago, you just, like, that's just how you played.
Yeah.
There was one small difference as well. Tungo's was grade 2 and Caesar's was grade 3. So they have rated it to be worse.
And even though Tungo's had a worse injury, like, Caesar's was worse. Like,
but I'm trying to remember the Tungo one, but I don't think his feet left the ground, did they? He sort of just...
Oh, he swung around, but he didn't, like... It didn't seem like he actively jumped into it.
Yeah. I thought watching him, like, Caesar's was well worse.
Oh, 100%. The only difference was he luckily didn't land on Curran's leg. But, yeah, unfortunately, the reffing for me, I just didn't think it was great. I mean, for example, there was one call where the ref called a head-high penalty, and then you watched the replay with Papali'i, and no, it didn't get anywhere near his head. It was actually on the ground where he hit his knee. Just some of the calls I just thought weren't great.
That season one's wild to have no sin bin and then come out and hit him with a 3 or 4 weeker.
Yep.
We had a bit of a chat about it in the green room beforehand, boys, but I just feel like this year there has been, particularly the last few weeks, and I know Guru alluded to it, and they mentioned there was going to be a little bit of a crackdown on certain things, but that whistle, I go to bed at night, it's just ringing in my head. Like, they are blowing penalties and 6-against for everything. They're just looking for excuses to slow the game down and blow penalties. Even if it's not 6-against, it is penalties that are stopping the game. Oh, it's doing my head in a bit. Like, let the boys play.
It's really tough to watch. Yeah. Really tough to watch.
And I think it hurts. The rugby league's in such a good position right now. The quality of the game's awesome. I think, you know, the rules they've brought in recent years to make the game flow, I think have been great. Then all of a sudden they just start blowing the pee out of the whistle again. I'm like, it takes a bit of fatigue out of the game. It takes the little man who is fitter and faster than the big boppers out of the game. And I don't know why. Like, anything that they can blow a penalty for, they do.
And it's frustrating too, because in a month's time we'll get to Origin, they won't blow the whistle and you'll go, fuck, this is rugby league.
It's so bizarre. so, and like some of the penalties that they've been given away, like they're not even lying on them that long. We're talking like half a second kind of stuff.
That's what I'm saying by looking for them. Like 0.1 of a second more, boom, gone, penalty. And it's like, why is this the directive from up top? Because it clearly takes away from the quality of the product we're putting out there.
Well, we're talking about a game that ended up being quite fiery and a lot happened, but unfortunately we're talking about the reffing when we should be talking about the fact that this was fireworks game.
When you're coming out of your own end at the moment, the penalty's blown and they get marched upfield. That used to be like, oh, shit, boys, I can't give away that. You just expect it now.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not how rugby league should be.
Yeah, so unfortunately in this game, just poor reffing in my opinion. For example, how did Ree Marnie stay on the field third man in like that?
He's made a bit of a habit of that as well, just running in and just stirring people up.
See, look, the niggle stuff, I get it. That's his job or whatever. But the refs have to create an environment. Look, you've taken away the justice that, forwards used to have, where if you niggle me, and this is years ago, so we're not talking recent, we're talking years ago. If you niggle me as a little fella, you get knocked out. And so that used to be the justice on the field, where the little fella just said, you know what, big fella, I'll get up, not going to pester him. And so I don't mind the pest still being in the game. But the ref, for example, Marnie, running in like that and going at Seyfarth, and then Seyfarth headbutting him. Yes, Seyfarth, definitely. Get him in the bin, okay. But it's like Marnie ran in knowing that if I roll this bloke up and he hits me, He's gone. Going.
Yeah. Look at his targets that he's picking.
Yeah. So it's like, what I don't get with him not getting sent, like how can the bunker, the touchies and the ref not know what Marnie has just done there? Like, I get it. Seyfarth should be off. I get it. I understand. And Clemmer for descent, yep, get him off. But like Marnie should go too. Because at the moment, you create an environment where Marnie is allowed to just like, and I'm not against Marnie doing it. If he wants to do it, fair play to him. He's actually a lovely, lovely bloke off the field. Does a lot of stuff with, I think, special needs and that. You know a bit about it?
Yeah. He's heavily involved. Yeah.
But if you want to be a pest on the field, sweet. But then you should also run the risk of the refs sending you for 10 or saying to you, mate, that's a penalty. Like, just don't understand why the refs aren't. On the weekend, the ref didn't pick that up.
Yeah. Part of me wants, I agree with you. Fuck, I love the way that Reed Marnie goes about his bullshit. Like, it does make for good TV.
Oh, it's great TV.
Yeah.
But in saying that, the refs need to be able to say, okay, sorry, the NRL, because the NRL's directive, there you go. Okay, we took away the natural justice on the field.
Yeah.
So we should protect the big fellas from that happening. So if just like the big fellas risk being sent 10 in the bin if they decide to take matters in their own hand, Reedy or anyone like Reed Marnie should also be risking 10 in the bin.
Yeah.
And I know he did get sent 10 for the last time, but I thought that was another really poor call, unfortunately. Thoughts on the reffing on the weekend with that game?
Yeah, I'm with you on the one at the end. I think definitely Reed probably should have gone and sat down. But, what do you do? It wouldn't have made too much of an impact at that point of the game. I don't think the refereeing cost the Tigers, though, unfortunately.
No, not at all. Yeah. I don't think the ref was bad for Tigers. I think the refereeing decisions for both sides were quite poor.
Would have loved to have had a mic on Seyfarth and Clemmer in the change rooms after having that conversation.
Oh, my
that
God. Would have
been great.
A fly on the wall for that. Holy I hate talking about the reffing, but hopefully the standard lifts and hopefully we don't just blow the pee out of the whistle for the coming weeks. But it seems like every year it's a directive. Like every year we go through this. Every year there's a crackdown and we go, the crackdown happens and then later in the year the crackdown, like remember the foot on the ball crackdown a couple of years ago?
I'm not sure if you noticed, AFB yesterday played a ball where he didn't even lift his leg, he just rolled it next to both.
I'm seeing it. I'm seeing that once a set.
Huh? Time for a crackdown?
I'm seeing that once a set. Blokes just rolling it through and they don't even put their foot on it.
It's like, what? AFB didn't lift his foot yesterday. It was wild.
They didn't even try it. They just
didn't
go,
even care. Yeah.
And look, I don't want another crackdown. I'm just saying, like, it's an example of a crackdown.
Kimmy, if we had a crackdown off the back of this, because someone at NRL headquarters is listening in, you'll be accountable.
I don't want a crackdown. I'm just saying.
You're facing the music,
it's
mate.
An example of a crackdown, and then a few months later, it's just like, yeah, we forgot about that.
You kind of sound like you want a crackdown.
Okay. On to who stood out for you guys in the doggies? Have we already spoken about pretty much? No, we haven't. I thought Kiraz was good.
Yeah, Kiraz was solid. Mate, honestly, there wasn't any huge standouts for me here. Burto had a good game.
I think Burton's doing his job, and you know they haven't blown too many teams away or whatever. But I don't know. It just seems like he's just a bit more into his work this year than last couple of years at number six. I don't know what the influence is there. Maybe it's having a few, you know, Crichton or whatever out there with him. But he went straight through. He's done it the last couple of weeks down the left and set up that first try. I know Joel Kane's actually talking about him. He's a bit of a smoky for number six Origin. Burto, I don't know what you reckon about that, but. Yeah, I think he's definitely looking a lot better this year.
You boys, anyone stood out?
I thought Bronson Cherry impresses me every single week that he plays. For a bloke who we don't forget, but he had 4 years out of the game.
Crazy.
He'll be back in the NRL and playing great football. He's just fit in seamlessly back in the NRL.
Shout out to Helen.
Helen. You. Yeah, we really do have Helen to thank for this. He's been unreal. And I just think Jacob Preston back on the bench, obviously didn't play a minute last week, but they're pretty left side dominant attack now. Jacob Preston coming back on and adding a bit more strike on the right edge, whether that's this week or next week, whenever he builds back into it. But, you know, they're getting troops back. Good sign.
They're also doing well in reserve grade. Just a little catch up on Skelton watch. One try, 262 metres, 3 line breaks, 12 tackle breaks on the weekend. And Toby Sexton also had a very good game. 2 line breaks, ooh, 1 try assist. Scored 2 tries, kicked 7 from 7.
Got booed off the field again. Jesus, those New South Wales Cup fans.
They're brutal. I take no prisoners.
Okay, so yeah, great stuff for the Doggies. Really, really good win. They're sitting in the 8. They're sitting in the 8. Look, we're heading into round 9, and they're bloody. What are they? Just get it up. Yeah, they're 8th, and they're actually. So they're one win behind the Broncos, the Roosters, and the Seagulls. Obviously, the Seagulls are the draw, and the Dolphins. So that's insane.
Play the Panthers this week, and I'm so excited to see how they go.
Yeah, just like the measure.
I don't give a fuck about the result. I just want to see how they handle
the fitness test time. And they're 360 to make the 8.
Really?
Yeah. Top that's 8 incredible. From all angles. So
I'll tell you what. Oh, fuck. Jesus, that's good stuff.
Well, I mean, like, if they're 8th now, who are they going to lose during Origin? Is Burton the best Crichton. Shot?
Critter.
Oh, Critter will go, yeah. But they've got so many outside backs at the club.
Mm. Maybe Fox. Maybe the Fox.
Maybe Fox, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. That's not bad, 360. Considering they're 8, like 8th right
now. Oh, 8 right now. You reckon that's good value?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Okay, now to the Tigers. This is a tough one. Yes, very disappointing. 14-6 up, they don't close the game. But they did really well to be in the game. I felt like the only problem with the Tigers was when they needed to just kind of like roll their sleeves up and kind of get out of their own end, they just kind of lost their way a little bit. They just, especially towards the end of the game, they just kind of looked like it was kind of just one out stuff and they just lacked a lot of direction. I understand Caesar obviously went off. Actually didn't go off. Apologies. So Caesar, for example, in that situation, he needs to bloody just pick the team up and just go, boys, this is the direction. Because I just felt like there were periods there where the Bulldogs did a really good job of just holding them in their own end and giving them basically no out.
We have a look at their outside backs. You know, Buller ran for 182, Charlie Staines 136. Outside of that, all sub 90 metres. You don't see that very often.
Samuel Afainu, the only one to run over 100 in the pack. He had 103 metres. The only one over 93 metres.
And so when the line speed increased and, you know, they needed their forwards and obviously some of their outside backs too to just really roll the sleeves up and, you know, just dent the line, get a quick play of the ball. They just struggled. Yeah. Now,
even like Stefano, damaging when he ran it. Like he had 8 tackle breaks, 3 offloads, but he still only had 82 metres in 50 minutes.
Mm. You need more than that.
Isn't that a bizarre stat?
Yeah, crazy.
3 offloads. So it's just that with Stefano, it's that weird situation where he has these big moments and then just goes quiet for a bit and then a big moment. It's kind of like, can we get maybe less of a big moment, but just more
of them.
Volume.
Yeah. More volume.
Yep, agree. Agree. We started pretty well. I think before the game as well, Benji said they're going to ping it around a bit and go towards
the... going on their left edge, your right edge. They
cut
them
apart,
apart
a couple of times. And one or two, you know, they obviously got the first try, which is pretty good. Charlie Staines, great length of the field effort, but went that way again. One or two little handling errors probably cost us another try or two there. There was a little knock on from Brent Naden, but we looked good there. But second half, we didn't score a point, and that, you know, that obviously hurts. Weren't able to put him away. I thought Lockie Galvin was pretty good again.
Oh, mate, seriously.
Yeah, he's a standout. But
he ran for 130 metres, Galvin. Like, how he even has the balls to run in the NRL is beyond me. Like,
and that's what I guess, you know, is disappointing when you look at some of those other players. You're going, how's Lockie Galvin running 430 metres?
Yeah.
And I understand he's in a different position. He can show and go and all that kind of stuff. But still. Now, some positive.
You're nervous about that war chest?
Yeah. to be honest, yeah. I've seen too many kind of meme pages with his head and the words war chest. Yeah, getting a bit emotional. But looking forward to seeing him and maybe Finu run around in the six and seven for a couple of weeks. We spoke before about Sailor and Mam. These guys will be pretty exciting as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I reckon he's going to go, Lato.
You reckon he's going to get a start, did you say?
Yeah, well, now that Aiden Caesar's out, you either go with Bud Sullivan or Latu Fino.
Have you seen, has he done much in New South Wales Cup or hasn't been playing?
He hasn't been playing, he's been on the bench here.
Yeah. Well, if he's been on the bench and Bud Sullivan hasn't, you'd have to assume that he's next in line.
Unless, just because you're looking for a halfback, you go
No, sorry, Latu's been benched, but Bud's been playing Cup.
Yeah. No, that's it.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I'd go with Latu. Bud hasn't impressed when he's been in first grade for me. Mm.
We played week on the weekend, got done 42-12 against the Doggies. Yeah, no tries, no try assists, no line breaks, no line assists. Not to say he played bad, but statistically speaking.
Yeah. So maybe he's next up, which is a really exciting pairing.
What
about
a
young
combo.
Exciting. Oh, mate. Like, and you just, boys, just run it. Whatever you see, just do it.
How's the spine? Buller? Galvin.
Maybe Affy.
Finu and Affy. Gee, there's some points in that.
Looking at the overs in Tamworth this weekend, perhaps.
Surely.
Yeah.
I want to talk, speaking of Finu, Samuel Finu on the edge is fast becoming one of my, I guess, favourite new players. I know he's been at the Tigers and he made his debut or whatever, but he's playing more regular this year. Because he was at the Tigers before the Finu brothers arrived, wasn't he?
Yeah, I believe he was there last year. He just
Samuel.
Didn't play that
yeah.
much.
He was at Manly last year.
But wasn't he, because two brothers came across, but wasn't Samuela already there?
Samuela was
I
with
think there was
Manly.
Another one that was already there.
Another one was already there. Okay.
Was already there. Yeah,
but Samuela played a bit of first grade at Manly though.
Yeah.
So this is his first year at the Tigers.
Yeah.
He's a little smoky for by the year. He's developing at a rapid rate.
Absolute and handful every time he gets the ball.
Every time he gets the ball, it seems like it's like all elbows and knees just tough to tackle. He's fighting and everything.
Well, he'll get a bit bigger after a couple of pre-seasons under his belt as well.
Because that means he's only 19?
I think so.
He captained New South Wales 19s. Was that last year?
Yeah, it was last year. Yeah. So I really like in Samuel Afenu. Like he's 20. Jeez. For him to be 20 years old and already be able to handle the contact and also win some of the contact, that's bloody good signs. But yeah, when I felt like Caesar really controlled the game well in the first half. In the second half, they just needed him when they were under pressure on their own 20 line to just get in the forwards' ears and say, boys, just fucking hit in behind the ruck and get me a quick play the ball. That's all I need. Just one of you quick play the ball and then we just go on top of it. Because they just got, I just felt like they got squeezed out of the contest. I know it ended up being 22-14, but they just, the Dogs weren't attacking well enough to make the game, to close the game out when they did end up getting those tries in that last 10 minutes or so. And I felt like the Tigers really, they just looked all over the shop coming out of their own end. Because I'm trying to think, the only time it felt like they did get on their own end was when the fight broke out. I'm trying to think in that last 10 minutes.
Yep.
I didn't recall them being down Bulldogs end for that last 10 minutes.
Mm. No.
Do
you like Johnny Bateman at 13?
I think he's been pretty good.
I think he's been good, but I'm like, for some reason, not all the way convinced yet because he's so erratic.
There's so many little things in John Bateman's game that I'd love to change, but then I'm equally like, no, you don't want to change this guy.
He's just so erratic.
He just is who he is. And
there were periods there where I watched the game, I'm like, yeah, for sure. 13 for sure. His ball playing looks a bit better than I thought it would be. He gets in their structures well. And then other times I'm like, oh, would he be better suited getting the ball with a bit of space on the edge like he used to? So regardless, like whether he's 11 or 13, geez, he's fun to watch.
God, it was great in this game, like when it was getting high tension and you could see him going up to the ref and talking, and he's, you know, he's talking fast and everything. I was just sitting there going, she's got no idea what he's saying. They are all sometimes at sea in this conversation. Yeah.
Has to bring a translator on with him. Like in boxing when they do post-match interviews. Yeah. Yeah, so look, disappointing they lost the lead, but the Tigers are way better than last year. Holy shit, they're way better than last year. Like, this is a much better footy side that looks, you know, connected, that looks like they're fighting for each other. And they've unearthed some really good players in Galvin and Samuel Fanu.
You mentioned it before, but that try they did score in the first half, that was an absolute cracker. That was like 0-5 Tigers.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
And also really smart game plan, like to identify that Bulldogs left edge can have some problems at times and just go, we're just going to hammer it. We're just going to hammer it. And they did. So hopefully we'll see how they go next week.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.